From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages from the ministry of Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Currently, Dr. Cairns is preaching a series of studies in the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, a subject which is sadly neglected in our day. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening. Our text for this morning is found in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Spiritual knowledge of Christ will be a personal knowledge. I cannot know Jesus through another person's acquaintance with Him. No, I must know Him myself. I must know Him on my own account. It will be an intelligent knowledge. I must know Him, not as the visionary dreams of Him, but as the Word reveals Him. I must know His natures, divine and human. I must know His offices, His attributes, His works, His shame, His glory. I must meditate upon Him until I comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. It will be an affectionate knowledge of Him. Indeed, if I know Him at all, I must love Him. An ounce of heart knowledge is worth a ton of head learning. Our knowledge of Him will be a satisfying knowledge. When I know my Savior, my mind will be full to the brim. I shall feel that I have that which my spirit panted after. This is that bread whereof if a man eat, he shall never hunger. At the same time, it will be an exciting knowledge. The more I know of my Beloved, the more I shall want to know. The higher I climb, the loftier will be the summits which invite my eager footsteps. I shall want the more as I get the more. Like the miser's treasure, my gold will make me covet more. To conclude, this knowledge of Christ Jesus will be a most happy one. In fact, so elevating that sometimes it will completely bear me up above all trials and doubts and sorrows, and it will, while I enjoy it, make me something more than man that is born of woman, who is few days and full of trouble. For it will fling about me the immortality of the ever-living Savior, and gird me with the golden girdle of His eternal joy. Come, my soul, sit at Jesus' feet, and learn of Him all the day.
Come to
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've mentioned Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the LTBSradio.com website. In addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Or if you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns commences the third message in a series on the Holy Spirit. Among the first principles we must recognize in learning about the Holy Spirit is the fact that the Bible teaches that the Spirit is a person, not an influence. This is the doctrine of the entire Word of God. As the study progresses, we'll see the many activities ascribed to the Holy Spirit throughout the Bible. Now, Dr. Cairns will commence a message called The Personality and Duty of the Spirit.
Genesis chapter 1, the first two verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Then 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the final two verses of the chapter, verses 17 and 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. The Lord will add His own blessing to the reading of His Word for His name's sake. Currently in the Sunday morning services, we are studying the Word of God on the subject, the person and the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, last Lord's Day morning, in considering the first lessons in the Bible regarding the Holy Spirit, in Genesis 1 verse 2, among all the things that we noted, we laid particular emphasis upon two things. First of all, His personality, and secondly, His deity. I say we emphasize those things, though, as you will have noted if you were here last week, they were emphasized in the midst of a fairly extensive study, especially on the activity of the Holy Ghost, as it is indicated in Genesis 1 verse 2. Now today I want us to return to those two great themes in particular. I say return to two of them. I'm not absolutely certain that we'll get the two of them covered in one message, but we're going to try. We're therefore going to pay particular attention to a study that is absolutely basic to every other thing that we can ever learn or think or say about the Holy Spirit. And if these two great truths are properly understood, they will certainly save us from many of the follies of many people who talk so unscripturally about the Holy Spirit. They will save us from the levity which so often surrounds those who talk about the Holy Spirit. And they will certainly get our feet on the pathway of Scripture knowledge, Scripture truth, and Scripture experience. We're dealing then with the personality and with the deity of the Holy Spirit. One of the best little books ever written on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit in Scripture was written by a man by the name of Octavius Winslow. And in that book, Winslow makes this very far-reaching comment. I don't often read sections of books in preaching, but I'm going to depart from the usual rule this morning, and I trust that you'll listen carefully. He says this: we must relinquish all dependence upon his influence if we cannot scripturally maintain the doctrine of his deity and his personality. And listen very carefully. Where he is honored, and adoring thoughts of his person and tender loving views of his work are cherished, then are experienced in an enlarged degree his quickening, enlightening, sanctifying, and comforting influences. On the contrary, where he is robbed of his glory, dishonored and denied, all is darkness and desolation. That's a tremendous statement. I trust that God will write it on her heart. Where the Holy Spirit is honored as to his divine personality, where he is properly approached and worshipped, and his work is cherished, then there will be an enlarged experience of his quickening, enlightening, sanctifying, and comforting activity. Where the Holy Spirit is dishonored, either by being neglected, or by having the truth about him warped and twisted, where he is dishonored, then all that we can expect is darkness and desolation. I have to wonder, when you look at the darkness and the desolation that is to be found in Christendom today, I have to wonder, is it not because there is broadly a dishonoring of the gracious Holy Spirit of God? And if he is not denied in actual formal manners, in other words, if men don't actually adopt a creed which denies the Holy Ghost in words, I cannot but wonder, are they not denying him in practice? Are they not living as if there were no Holy Spirit, and thereby forfeiting all the experience, the rich blessing in the church, which the Holy Ghost alone conveys. Now, with this in mind, I want us, in dealing with the personality and deity of the Holy Spirit, to make progress in the very simplest and most fundamental possible manner. First of all, let me note with you that the Holy Spirit is set forth in the Word of God as a real person. It's the simple first thing we want to look at today. In starting this, we can go no better than to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that in John 14, John 15, and John 16, the Lord Jesus took particular pains to speak about the Holy Spirit. Now that in itself tells you a lot. The Lord Jesus is soon to leave His people. He is soon, as He said, to go away. But He would not leave them comfortless. He wouldn't leave them like orphans in the world. He wouldn't deprive His church of all the peculiar blessings which His personal presence had meant to the disciples. And therefore, He makes the burden of three chapters. I'm not saying that He didn't speak of anything else in these chapters. He did. But He ties all into this one great burden of three chapters. The person, the deity, and the consequent activity in the church and through the church of God the Holy Spirit. And in every case, the Lord Jesus speaks of Him as a real person. If you look at John 15, 26 and 27, and again John 16 and verse 7, you cannot help but be impressed that the Lord Jesus is continually using the masculine personal pronoun in speaking of the Holy Spirit. To the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit was not some indefinable it. To the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit was not merely some influence. To the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit was He, the third person of the Trinity, as we shall see before we're through today. The Holy Spirit, then, is spoken of by Christ Himself as a person. When you then look more widely in the Word of God, you will then not be surprised to find out that when the Holy Spirit is spoken of in Scripture, there are attributed to Him personal characteristics and personal acts. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time in having you look up 50 or 60 scriptures this morning. I know that people get rather tired if they're continually looking up key and reference scriptures. But I do want you to get the impression very clearly that this is not something that a man or a system has dreamed up. And all that I say this morning, I want to give scripture reference upon scripture reference, so that by line upon line and precept upon precept, we can see that contrary to the accusations that have been made against Orthodox Christianity, this doctrine of the Spirit is the doctrine of the entire Word of God. Now let's come to the personal attributes and acts that are attributed to the Holy Spirit. First of all, as we noted last week, Nehemiah 9 verse 20 tells us that the Holy Spirit instructs His people. John 14 and 26, we find that the Holy Spirit teaches the people of God. Now here then is the first personal characteristic. He is an instructor. He is a teacher. On this line, the Apostle Paul is very clear. in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. He says, the Spirit speaketh expressly. And he goes on to tell you exactly what the doctrine is that the Holy Spirit is teaching and of which he is speaking. So the first personal characteristic of the Spirit is that he instructs or teaches. The second one is that he bears witness. It's interesting in Scripture that he bears witness in various ways. For instance, in Acts chapter 5, verse 32, we read, we are his witnesses, that is, Christ's witnesses, and so is also the Holy Ghost, which the Lord has given to them that obey him. Now, I want you to get this. God's witness to man is the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that the Lord has appointed preachers and teachers, and they are called witnesses of Jesus Christ. Acts 1 and verse 8, ye shall be my witnesses. It is one of the great functions of the church, and this is one reason why God maintains his church in the world, to be a witness to Jesus Christ. When God saves you, he makes you, in the truest sense of the word, a martyr. The word martyr simply means a witness, and it has come to have its current meaning of one who dies for Christ, because the witnesses were so given over to the work of bearing witness that they were willing to do so even at the cost of death. But we are the true martyrs of Christ. We are the true witnesses of Jesus Christ. And yet, you know, human witness can never convince a soul of his need of Christ. Human witness can never implant faith in a faithless heart. Human witness can never give life to a dead soul. It takes the Spirit of God to do that. And so, and this is a very important text, as we'll see in a later connection, on the doctrine of the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a very important text. And so if we are going to be of any use in witnessing, there must side by side with our witness be the witness of the Holy Spirit. Peter says, we are his witnesses, and so also is the Holy Spirit. What a blessed day in the history of the Church of Jesus Christ it is, when every word of the preacher is taken by the Holy Spirit and made his personal word of witness. What a wonderful day it is for the cause of Christ when the gospel announced by human lips is taken by the person of the Holy Spirit and applied with his personal witness. That's when conversions take place. That's when revival starts to burn with mighty fire in the church. That's when the world is turned upside down, when the Holy Spirit is a witness. Now, that is a personal activity. That is a personal attribute. The Holy Spirit bears witness for God among men.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.